Hey guys, this is Ian Happ from the Chicago Cubs. I'm excited to announce that my show, The Compound, is now part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Join me and my teammates Dakota Mekas and Zach Short. This week, we welcome Cubs first baseman, World Series champion Anthony Rizzo to The Compound. Check it out. Subscribe. The Compound on the Blue Wire Podcast Network.
Blue Wire.
Cousins, Thielen, he's got it!
Garoppolo over the middle,
intercepted, Harrison Smith, it's caught! Kyle Rudolph with the Viking touchdown!
Alright, welcome in everybody, welcome to Bleeding Purple, podcast about the Minnesota Vikings. I'm your host, Adam Patrick from thevikingage.com. We are part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network and we are brought to you by betonline.ag. As always, I'm joined by Mr. Eric Strack from MinnesotaSportsFan.com. And Eric, I don't have any crazy questions for you today because I just woke up 10 minutes ago. Yeah. How are we doing today? That's all I'm going
to
ask.
Yeah, well, you know, you have to get up quite early over there for this podcast, so I don't really blame you. Like, even when it started ticking past 9 o'clock, I'm like, yeah. I mean, honestly, we do it this early at this point. For you, last week you were getting up at 8:15, which would be 6:15 your time to do it. Commitment. Yeah, that is a very high commitment level. And here it's like 9 o'clock, and I mean, now my kids are in daycare on Tuesdays and Thursdays, so I mean, I could record really any time in the morning. So yeah, you being this tired, I'm fine with just how am I doing? I'm doing okay. You know, the sun is coming out now that it's been cloudy all morning. I dropped my kid off at school today, or school, daycare, whatever you want to call it. He's two. And yesterday, so if first day was Tuesday, and that was obviously crying, but that was expected. First day there. Yesterday was better. And then.
Or today?
No, yesterday. And then today.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And then today was. Like, he was happy, excited the whole morning, and then we got there, and as soon as I pulled in, no, 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 and I'm like, oh boy, this isn't going to go well. And so, as like, we walk in there, and they've got, you know, like, hand sanitizer, so we're putting that on, and the whole time, no, 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 like, he does not want to go, you could tell. So then as soon as we get in there, just all out scream fest, and, you know, I'm not the most sensitive person or parent. But gosh, dropping your kid off when they're just screaming and like grasping onto your shirt and your clothes, and that is just not an easy thing to do. So that's what I did this morning. But like I said, I'm not the most sensitive person, so I didn't come home and start looking at the app that they gave us, and like I'm pretty much over it by now. So here we are, ready to talk about some Vikings.
That's good. Yeah, no, unless if you don't have kids, it's hard to understand, but yeah, hearing your kids scream for anything is difficult. You don't
unless
really
they're really pissing me off and that's why they're screaming.
Yes.
Then I want to hear them scream louder. Then it's like music to my ears. Like, I'm making them, because sometimes I'll get mad at the same 2-year-old. My daughter, my 9-year-old, has been an angel forever. Like, always listen, doesn't do anything wrong, gets great grades, everybody at school loves her. Piece of cake. Oliver, our son, completely, completely different story. So he's, yeah, it's when he goes off, sometimes he will laugh at me when I yell at him or try to discipline him. And so when I actually know I made him like upset and I'm upset, it's like, there, good. Now you feel like I feel. Timeout's really the only thing that works. Yelling doesn't even work for him.
Yeah, my oldest is 1.5, and he likes to laugh when we get mad at him too.
Oh.
So it's really hard to do anything because he's just like,
I know. Back when I was a kid, my dad would just hit me in the ass, and that would have been that, and I would have stopped laughing at him very quickly.
Yeah. All right, let's get to some Vikings talk. Not a lot has really happened since. the last podcast we did because, you know, it's June. And saw some report was just waking up this morning that Dr. Fauci or whatever doesn't think it'd be a good idea to play football in September. And I'm like, can we stop making guesses in June? Because we don't know what's going to happen in July.
Well, yeah, so. Because his guess, like, so that whole thing is, and you and I had talked about this going way back, like that conversation is based on the virus, you know, reacting to warm weather and cold weather.
Yeah.
Well, if that was really the case, then we would sure think that the virus would be pretty much gone around the country. Because even here in Minnesota, it's 95 degrees out right now. Yeah. But in a lot of places, the numbers are going up. So it's like, that's where, like you said, can we just not try and guess what's going to happen two months from now, since we don't know? Not that Dr. Fauci doesn't know what he's talking about. Some people disagree. But not that he doesn't know what he's talking about. It's just nobody knows what they're talking about when it comes to this, no matter how long you've been studying infectious diseases.
I just think people want everyone. I think he would just rather have everyone stay inside like forever until they get a vaccine. And that's just not going to happen.
You would think so. But then like he's the same guy that said, I'm pretty sure I wrote a blog about it back when it happened. This was like 2 months ago. He was asked on, I think, Get Up or on ESPN by somebody, like if sports are going to return, like if he feels good about it. And he said, like at the time, yes, yep, absolutely. And like went into all the reasons why sports will happen. And then sports fans love Dr. Fauci. And it's just like, so again, that was 2 months ago. Now we're different. Let's just stop guessing and just wait and see where things are at that point and then make decisions based on that.
Yeah. We talked a lot about the pandemic last episode. So if you want to hear about that, well, you can go to that one. So
yes,
try and keep it more football for this episode. So ESPN, I believe it was either yesterday or recently, they released their NFC North all decade team for the 2010s, and the Vikings were represented by eight current and former players, consisted of Adrian Peterson, Kyle Rudolph, John Sullivan at center, Linval Joseph, Jared Allen, Chad Greenway, Harrison Smith, and Cordarrelle Patterson as the returner. Did you have a problem with any of those names being on there, or
does every names does
being
every
not on there?
Does every team have a
player?
A returner?
No. They picked from the four NFC North teams, they picked one player per position. So there's like Jordy Nelson, Calvin Johnson, Aaron Rodgers, Julius Peppers, Clay Matthews, like all that.
Right. Okay. So, all right, that makes more sense. I guess Cordarrelle Patterson is the best returner if you have to pick a returner.
Because what's his face? Devin Hester was the decade before most of his
most career. Of his were. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, I mean, Cordarrelle Patterson is legit there. I guess I have no like qualms with it. Where are you at on it?
Yeah, I'm fine with the players that they picked. And I understand there's arguments that can be made for guys like, you know, maybe Everson Griffin. I guess you could argue Thielen or Diggs if you wanted to, because they picked Jordy Nelson. And I was like, he was okay. He wasn't like amazing. He had some good years. But I think like someone like Thielen has probably done just as well or just a little maybe below. And then maybe Xavier Rhodes, because he was an all-pro, but then he kind of fell off a cliff. So maybe there's some recency bias there, because they picked Darius Slay and Charles Tillman. Charles Tillman deserves that. But Slay, I don't know, because he's only been in the league for 7 years, but he's really good. So I don't think I have really any problem with the players that they picked. I was kind of questioning, because they picked who the best player from each team was for the NFC North, and
yep.
The Vikings was obviously Adrian Peterson.
Yep.
And then their runners up for the Vikings, they picked Harrison Smith and Cordero
Patterson. Oh, yeah, Cordero Patterson.
So technically, you're saying Cordero Patterson is either the second or third best player from the Vikings in the past.
So decade. I guess, okay, so you and I, so here's my thing with this. So as I'm looking at this now, and obviously, as people know, I don't know anything about the Vikings, nor do I prepare for this podcast. So oftentimes, I get thrown for loops when you ask questions. And this is one of those times, but I'm now pulling this up. As an editor, here's the question that I have. Was this something that the editor went in and said, you have to include Cordero Patterson because he's actually on the list at special teams? Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? Because if he did, and then that's why she puts him in at the first honorable mention, then I can't be mad at Courtney Cronin. Like, she could be cringing at this just like we're cringing at this. Yeah. But yes, it comes off as Cordero Patterson is the second best player of the decade for the Minnesota Vikings. And that's, I mean, obviously absurd. So that, I mean, I have to look.
I don't think talk, so, because other teams that had special teams players weren't included in the honorable mentions, like the Packers had.
Well, we need to have Courtney Cronin on the show then, because I need to ask her. I need to straight up ask her what she meant by this, because look,
he's better than Jared Allen?
No, he's not better than, like, I can
Chad Greenway?
25 Vikings that are better than Cordero. Just because Cordero Patterson was really good at returning kickoffs doesn't make him an all-time Viking great. What are we talking about now?
He had games where, like, he would have a touchdown return or a kickoff return for a touchdown, and the score would be like 34-7.
Not only that, but, like, let's go back. I didn't pull up Cordero Patterson's stats, and maybe you can, but, like, Cordero Patterson was a really good returner. Still is. In his prime, he was a great returner, and that's why he's on this list. But how many touchdowns did Cordero Patterson score? Let's talk about that. Let's go down the list of Vikings quarterbacks who have thrown four times the touchdowns that Cordero Patterson ever scored for the Minnesota Vikings. Like, let's talk about every running back. Any running back that played in the 2010s probably scored more touchdowns than Cordero Patterson did, as long as they had a starting role for like 10 games. Like, I just, for me, this is, that's why Courtney Cronin is my favorite, like, interviewee at press conferences. Like, her questions are the most thought out. They're the best. They make me think. They make Zimmer think. That's why I secretly think, not that Mike Zimmer hates Courtney Cronin, but he definitely hates her questions. So Courtney Cronin is way smarter than this.
Not in the same way where he gets mad at Thomason.
No. Different. Because totally. He's totally different. Like, the questions blow his mind, and he's like, geez, this is like, I actually have to think my way through this question. But that's why I think there's no way that she actually puts Cordero Patterson as the second greatest Viking of the 2010s. That would never, ever happen. Ever.
Maybe too much thought was put into it. With the Vikings.
Maybe.
Cordero Patterson had a total of 16 touchdowns. So
16 touchdowns.
And so 11 of them were not returned. So he had five.
Kirk Cousins, Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs, Dalvin Cook. Like, they all played in the 2010s. They're Kyle all Rudolph. Better than Cordero Patterson.
Kyle Rudolph.
Kyle Rudolph wins too. Absolutely he does. Irv Smith might win by the end of this year.
Yeah.
Like, it's 2020, I guess. So it's probably
I was just a little confused with that selection. Like, yeah, I understand he's a great returner, but
that's why I think she has to now in we're there like, he's on the list. But there's like, other people. Are there other Vikings on this list that there are. Linval Joseph. Oh my gosh. Yeah, we got
Allen. Yeah.
Maybe we gotta reach out to Allen Cronin and tell her that.
The choice in 2011, that was when he had like 22 sacks.
Yeah. He played from 2018 to 2013, and he played for the Bears from 2014 to 2015, so he's still in the North. And even when he was with the Bears, he was still piling up close to 10 sacks a year, right?
I don't know about that.
I don't think it was that far off. I mean, over five for sure. I mean, a decent defensive lineman that's even on a rotation? If you're getting over five sacks per game, then you're going to be on a rotation somewhere as a valuable member.
He had five and a half with the Bears, and but with the Vikings, let's see.
Well, yeah, the 1 year where he had 20.
2010 to 2013, Jared Allen had a total of 56 and a half sacks. How is he not?
Yeah, okay. That's what I mean. It almost doesn't make sense. Maybe we need to ask her. Put out the bat signal.
Maybe too much quarantine time. It gets to you and you start overthinking stuff.
Did anybody hear her actually like break this down on why?
No, I haven't seen anything. Maybe she did, but I haven't seen anything. Yeah. So just confused why Cordarrelle Patterson was on there, but you know, it's not like he was terrible, but it's just there were other choices who were.
She makes it seem like he's an easy choice.
Yeah.
Like drafted by the Vikings in 2013, Patterson reached a career high 1,393 yards and two touchdowns.
He wasn't drafted as a returner.
I know. On 43 kickoff returns on his way to a Pro Bowl as a rookie and was one of the most dangerous returners of the past decade. Smith, so then she goes on, Smith was another easy choice.
Yeah.
How is Cordarrelle Patterson an easy choice? Like, yeah, Smith is an easy choice. You're right, but let's take another out of there. Like if it says Smith was an easy choice, that would, yes, I agree. But another easy choice, the only other person you've listed is Cordarrelle Patterson. So I don't understand how he was an easy choice. Oh, I got so many questions. Wow.
All right, I mentioned in the beginning we were
brought to you. This might deserve a blog.
Oh boy. I mentioned in the beginning we were brought to you by betonline.ag. So there's no shortage of action going on in our exclusive partners, betonline.ag. Sports are slowly making their way back, and BetOnline is leading the way with the best odds and lines for all UFC, NASCAR, boxing, and soccer matches. And if you need even more, they have simulated NFL, NBA, and UFC simulations all day, every day, live on their website. Or if you're looking for something else other than sports, BetOnline has hundreds of casino games, poker tournaments, and prop bets to check out as well. So visit betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE for a free welcome bonus. That's one word, BLUEWIRE, BetOnline, your online wagering experts. All right, I wanted to get to the next topic, which is from an article that we published on the Viking Age about like the six biggest distractions for the Vikings during the Mike Zimmer era. So I just wanted to ask you, of everything that's gone on since Mike Zimmer was the coach of the Vikings, and there's been a lot, what do you think has been or was the biggest distraction for the Vikings during the Mike Zimmer era? What had the biggest impact on, you know, their performance? I think the top answer is probably pretty obvious, but maybe there's something else that you're like, oh, wow, this had a huge effect on their season or their performance.
I would say it'd either have to be Sperano or AP. Like one of those two. I'm not, you know, each obviously is a completely different like effect on the team. So to me, I don't know, since I'm not in the locker room, I'm not sure which would technically distracted greater. But like just looking from the outside, the AP situation, I would imagine there are people on, you know, both sides of the fence. You got people who love AP, who, you know, just think that he needs some parenting coaching. You maybe even have some people in the locker room who, like I just said, I was swatted when I was a kid, who were worse than that, just like AP was, and maybe think it's okay. And then you have, because he clearly thought it was okay. It was not like something where he was just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. I'm so sorry. Like
he still does.
Yeah, exactly. And then you have the people like me, like most people who looked at it and were like, outraged, child abuse, like what is happening? Take his kids away. So I'd imagine that really caused some huge waves in the locker room. But then, you know, how do you measure the death of a coach? You know, like, especially
offensive line,
somebody who was so close to everybody, a mentor to Zimmer, it wasn't like it was an offensive line coach who Zimmer met with once a week to just make sure everything was, you know, hunky dory on the offensive line. Like Sperano was a guy who came and sat in his office throughout the day, probably hours in a day, and they chatted about life, about football, you know, about everything. So, you know, it's so to try and measure what that would have been like is impossible. So, but I would say those two are the ones that stick out the most for me.
Yeah, I think so. I think the Sperano one, I think, is probably had the most impact. And I don't know if people maybe realize how much impact it had, because it not only, like you said, Zimmer lost a friend, a close friend, and then he had to scramble to figure out, you know, okay, who's going to coach my offensive line now? And it's not like the offensive line has ever been a great position for the Vikings where he doesn't really have to worry about who the coach is. So then he had that whole situation, and then I think it just threw a lot of things off and put a lot of things. It started maybe like a snowball. That was like one of the first things to happen. And then, you know, that same season you had Everson Griffin and, you know, his incident that led to him missing time. You know, that led to, you know, just the offensive line playing poorly and, you know, the Vikings losing that game to the Bills was unexpected and whole bunch of things happening. So I would say this Sperano thing was probably it's weird. I feel like it's weird to call it a distraction because I feel like that takes away from what it was, but it really was a distraction because, you know, Zimmer and other people in the Vikings organization probably thought about that, you know, all the time during that season and some maybe still even do.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, it was a lot of things, including a distraction. You know, that does, just because it was a distraction doesn't mean it wasn't a legitimate distraction. It was, you know, distractions always seem to come with such a negative connotation.
Yeah.
But, you know, distraction doesn't have to be negative. Like, does it have a negative effect? You're right. Does it have a negative effect on play? Maybe, but that doesn't mean that players shouldn't rightfully be distracted by something or coaches shouldn't rightfully be distracted by something. It's just, you know, that's life. And I think as fans, the more, you know, I've only been in, you know, I've covered one team for 1 year. And if there's one thing that I learned from covering Gopher football, it was like there is distractions all the time. We don't realize it because we're fans. We're on the outside. Like to us, it's just a team, but they're people with individual lives, just like us and families and, you know, friends. And as much as we would just like to think that it's just easy to put all of that behind you and play, it's not. And it's even if a player or a coach is able to put everything behind them on game day, That might be possible, but that doesn't mean everything leading up to that game wasn't distracted. Like,
yeah, it affects your preparation.
Right, your preparation. Like the only way the greatest athletes, and that's why, like, you know, Michael Jordan talked about it, and LeBron James, like, what they try to do is live in this bubble where they can just focus on their sport, on their profession, because it really takes that much focus. I mean, you probably deal with it too. I deal with it with the website. Like, Twitter is a distraction. Like, you know, when you're trying to get things done, like Twitter, something pops up on Twitter and all of a sudden now you're down this rabbit hole and down that rabbit hole. And now it's 45 minutes and you're like, shoot, I was just editing this blog that was only 20 minutes away from being finished. And now it's still 20 minutes away from being finished. You know, it's like, it's just distractions are in everybody's life. And for us to just assume that it's not the same for athletes, it's not, you know, screw what's fair and not fair. It's just not reality. Like, yeah. Screw what's fair. Like, it's just not reality to think that human beings are not going to be distracted by everything that other human beings are distracted by.
Yeah, just because they're athletes or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. they go through the same things. Also on the list was Teddy Bridgewater's knee injury.
Oh yeah.
Let's see. Oh, Stefon Diggs' shenanigans last season.
Yeah.
Those were a little distracting.
Yeah, a little bit.
And then Norv Turner calling it quits.
Yeah, that was another one. You know, we get so stuck in our Minnesota sports bubble, Minnesota Vikings bubble. Like, I wonder if you went through every single team, if like most of them, I'd imagine you'd find.
There's distractions, but I don't know. I feel like the Vikings have gone through, especially under Mike Zimmer, just gone through a lot more than.
His eye surgery, too, I don't think.
Yeah. That was in there. There's been even more than what we just talked about.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to compare it to all the other teams. It would never happen because nobody's going to spend the time to write that article. But it would be
because aside from these distractions, you also have other players getting hurt every year. You have Dalvin Cook, you know, tearing his ACL. You got Mike Hughes and other players, and then you know we got.
I know, but my thing is like every single team has at one point, including coaches, over 100 people on it.
Yeah.
Like, I just, they're, you know, the Vikings might, like, rank towards the top if you were to name all the teams that, and the most distracted teams, you know, good, bad, or otherwise, throughout the league over the last, handful, 5, 6, 7 years. The Vikings might be towards the top of that list, but I think that we would be surprised by some of the things that other teams deal with that we just don't hear about, because I bet if you went and asked the Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan base about half of these things that have happened to the Vikings, they would have no idea. And so how much of that for us are we dealing, you know, just with the bias of being here where we think about all the distractions we deal with, you know, because I don't know any distractions of. I'm trying to think of
Look at the team like the Steelers and all the Antonio Brown stuff they went through.
Yeah.
Le'Veon Bell too.
Brown's dealing with major distractions.
Yeah, that's every year with the Browns.
That's every year. Even the Patriots have had to deal with huge distractions. You know, like if you think about it, and the one thing like. I don't know how many teams have had to deal with like their star player abusing his child or, you know, death, like not just to a coaching staff's family member, but to an actual member of your coaching staff. Because of just how deep and personal those two things go. I would imagine the Vikings would be towards the top of the list, but yeah, there are some crazy distractions that every team deals with. When you have 100 people in a building, you're bound to have some crazy, especially with that much, you know, money and publicity around everything.
For sure. Especially, when you're making millions of dollars, mm-hmm. there's going to be a lot going on. Let's see. Let's finish it off. I had an article.
I like this next question.
That I was thinking of. So I guess you could probably steal it now. But
it's all right. I gave you one that I'm sure you're going to write about us right before we started the show.
Maybe. I got a bunch of stuff to do today. So during your lifetime, who do you think? There's a lot of choices. Mm-hmm. Who do you think has been the most disappointing Vikings quarterback?
Yep.
And this is it. This is to your interpretation too. It could be someone who made the Pro Bowl or whatever.
Right. Well, see, this is the only question that I actually thought about on the list today because it was the only one that I didn't really need to do any research for. I think, and this is after like racking.
Hold on.
Racking
of course,
my brain.
Of course, Schefter tweets about Dr. Fauci. Of course.
Yes, of course he does. I'm going with Dante Culpepper.
What?
Yep. So here's why. Because the question is most disappointing.
Yep.
And what we thought we had, what with Dante Culpepper, Randy Moss, like Culpepper was after that first season, he was what we were missing. Like, sure, Randall Cunningham, Jeff George, like Brad Johnson, those guys were decent quarterbacks who were past their prime. So some of them good quarterbacks who were past their prime when they were with the Vikings. When we got Dante, it was like, so we got Moss, we got Dante, let's go. Like, we're looking at 5-10 years of like dynasty Vikings. Who's going to stop Dante to Moss? And then just like as fast as it got started, just skidded to a stop. Just everything, just knee injuries, small hands, like everything, just
both parties.
Both parties, like everything just unraveled so quickly. So I would say most disappointing, I went with Culpepper. I'm sure a lot of people would go with the heartfelt Teddy Bridgewater. I understand that answer.
Yeah, you could throw that in. Yep.
I understand that answer, but he was never like, I was excited for Teddy, but not like we were excited for Dante.
No, it could have gotten to that point. I think maybe.
Oh yeah. If he would have one more big year
with Teddy. Cause I think he was actually heading into
the best, that preseason game against the Chargers was his best performance I ever watched in his career.
a little shimmy scramble.
I know.
And his knee exploded.
I watched that in Buffalo Wild Wings and just
he shimmied a little too hard. But yeah, Culpepper, that he started in his second season with the Vikings, so he was kind of here's a bunch of people about to get mad. He was kind of the Patrick Mahomes before Patrick Mahomes, because he came in unknown, and Vikings are like, this is our guy, you know, he's going to be, and he got off to a huge start. He had 33 touchdowns, just passing the ball in his first year.
Getting his role on constantly.
Yeah, and he was even a rushing threat, you know, and he was a different
people kind forget of that he was almost MVP caliber. Like, he was putting up massive numbers, but they just weren't quite as massive as Peyton Manning.
I was going to say
was putting up, and Tom Brady.
I think he was
like 50 touchdowns. I'm pretty sure.
I think he had 39, but he threw for 4,700 yards.
Yeah.
So
50. That was the year that Peyton and Tom were breaking the 50 mark, was when he was going at 40.
Yeah.
If you would have gone any time before that period, he would have won MVP that year.
Yeah, he would have. But yeah, then things just started to unravel. And the thing is with Culpepper, he put up all these numbers, but the Vikings, I think he only had a winning record as a starter with the Vikings just at that one year, 2000. All the other years, I'm looking at it right now, he was 4-7 in 2001, 6-10 2002, 7-7 2003, and 8-8 in 2004, and then the year where he blew out his knee, he was 2-5. So he put up all these numbers, but it never really resulted in much wins. And now is that more on him, or is that on Mike Tice, because he was the coach during this time? I'd probably lean more towards Mike Tice and some of the decisions that he made. So, but yeah,
you weren't a fan of the Randy ratio.
I mean, I always like watching Randy Moss get the ball more, but if the other team knows that he's going to get it, you're going to try and get him the ball at least 10 times a game, then yeah, that's going to be a problem, whether it was obvious.
So
or not,
if that Fox knows and is putting it on the graphic saying ratio, then you think the other team knows?
Yeah. They might know. I mean, they're already going to triple cover Randy Moss, but now you've just given them an incentive to do it the whole game.
Yeah.
For my most disappointing quarterback, I'm going to go with someone who apparently is beloved by a certain community of Vikings fans, because whenever he's brought up or whenever I say anything negative about him, there's just people coming out of the woodwork like, oh, he's one of the most talented quarterbacks to ever play for the Vikings, and that's Sam Bradford. Okay. The Vikings gave up a first-round pick for Sam Bradford in 2016, and he proceeded to do what he did with every other team that he played for and not lead them to the playoffs. So,
yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm with everybody else on this one.
Really?
So I'll wait. I'll let you state your case, and then
I've just never been a fan of. I understand he had the talent and everything, but it doesn't matter if you have the talent if you don't use it. Like he would have like one really good game, and then a stretch of five or six where all he does is just, you know, check the ball down, and I think, you know, maybe his play with the Vikings was impacted by, you know, him getting pounded in the offensive line week after week, and he was just, you know, just wanted to get the ball out as quick as possible. But to sit there and say, like, I've seen people be like, oh, if he was healthy, the Vikings, you know, he could have been so good for the Vikings. And that's part of the thing, too. He wasn't ever healthy. He had knee problems. And that's part of, you know, evaluating whether or not you're a good football player. Like, there's plenty of players, you know, if they were healthy, you know, you could say that for so many people, because there's so many players that have the talent to be in the NFL. That's obvious. They made the NFL for a reason. But the guys that stand out are the ones who are able to stay on the field and actually, you know, figure out a way to utilize the talent that they have, you know, in a way that not only helps their team, but, you know, puts up, you know, impressive numbers. So I've just never been impressed by Sam Bradford. He stole a lot of money from teams in the NFL. And if he wasn't the number one pick, I think he would have been out of the league a lot quicker than he actually lasted.
Wow. I didn't realize I was dealing with the biggest Bradford detractor. And
it gets me a little fired up because people are like, oh, he was, you know, he's one of the best quarterbacks of the Vikings decade. And I'm like, what did he do?
Like, so I don't know if, like, obviously talent was all there. His biggest problem was injuries and lack of offensive line throughout his whole career, because he got drafted number one into a terrible situation. He was like the last quarterback to get major money out of the draft, or one of the last quarterbacks to get major money out of the draft. And then he was put onto a team where he's getting all of this money in a salary cap driven league, and he is, you know, there's no offensive line or any players to play with, and then he's injury prone. So where he was getting protected, you know, pretty much a Trump wall in front of him at Oklahoma, then he comes to the NFL, and it's the complete opposite of that. And we find out he's injury prone, even worse than we thought. But as far as for talent, I mean, he is one of the most talented quarterbacks to ever come into the NFL, but it doesn't, like you said, it doesn't matter, because if you're not on the field, then it doesn't matter how talented you are. But where I disagree with you on the Viking situation was because of the circumstances. Like, Sam Bradford,
into the fire.
Not even that. Like, Sam Bradford was brought here out of desperation. Like, Teddy Bridgewater got hurt, and we had a team that we felt was ready to compete for a Super Bowl that year, and we didn't want to waste it. So we looked at the market, who's the best quarterback we can get, and it was Sam Bradford. It took a first-round pick to get him, but, I mean, if you look at first-round picks that have flopped, you're going to find people who have had a lot worse seasons than the one good one that Sam Bradford had here. So was he worth a first round pick? Probably not. But given the circumstances, I'm guessing that Spielman would do it all over again, because he felt like the team would have been mad. The team would have like
John Hill. He would have been.
Yeah. And the team would have been mad at Spielman for not like going and getting a competent quarterback to come and try and win when he had the opportunity. And so I think that he would do it all over again. So then you have that one year where then the offensive line was even worse than we expected. And Sam Bradford showed me stuff, throws. He showed me staying in the pocket. He honestly, and an awareness that we hadn't seen in Minnesota, like what, since like Brad Johnson, when it comes to that sort of like just
Culpepper.
Awareness. But Culpepper was a run and like make things out of nothing pocket. Type of quarterback. Like Brad Johnson was the like analytical. He knew what he was doing when the ball was snapped. And if it wasn't open, he had plan B, plan C. And if that wasn't there, he's throwing the ball away. And that was Sam Bradford, except, well, but Favre was, I'm going to hold this as long as I can and gun it through wherever I can. And Sam Bradford definitely wasn't that either. So it's like, so I was really impressed that first year with Bradford. He put up the numbers. I didn't blame him for not throwing a lot downfield because he didn't have the time to do it. Then you had the one game of the year that where it all went bad. Well, where it all went good, but it all started kind of going 17. Bad. When he had that first game and he threw that shot to Diggs and he was just on fire. And then all of a sudden we come in after the game and he's got a bruised knee and we don't know what's going on. And he just had one of the best games of his career. What's happening? And then he ends up being out for the rest of the season after coming in and, you know, wiping the field with himself at in Chicago. And it's like, because of the situation, I'm not mad at Sam Bradford for we knew what we were getting with Sam Bradford. Honestly, a year where he got destroyed for an entire season and he lasted through that whole year, that was shocking to me. And then he comes into the next year and he does what we all expected to happen the year before. Sam Bradford, if he's getting hit by everybody, can't stay healthy. And that's what happened when he was here. And so he couldn't stay healthy. So we knew what we were getting with Sam Bradford by the time he came here. So is he the most disappointing out of like any quarterback who's ever been with the Vikings as far as career is concerned? Probably, because he was a number one pick who ended up not doing number one pick things. But as far as his time with the Vikings, I think we got just about what we expected out of him. We got an injury-riddled quarterback who was pretty darn good when he was healthy.
Yeah. You saying all that makes me excited to write this article because it's just going to ruffle a lot of feathers, and sometimes that's more fun than anything.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I'm here for the clicks. You might not say it, but I'll say it.
I can give him a little benefit of the doubt for that 2016 season because it was so, you know, he was, you know, just thrown into the fire. And
well, and he threw, you know, I mean, look at his stats.
He didn't have a whole offseason to prepare for, yeah, he was accurate that year, but he still threw up
almost 4,000 yards. Like,
he had 3,800 and he had 20
how many touchdowns?
5 receptions.
Yeah, so I mean,
in 15 games.
Yeah, so
it was he was all right. I wouldn't say he did
the best that he could do with what he had. That offensive line was probably the worst in Vikings history, and we've had some bad offensive lines just in this last decade.
Yeah, so I get confused when people are like, if he was healthy in 2017, you know, the Vikings would have been.
It's from that first game.
Oh, that's, I understand.
For sure, from the first game. I almost agree with them, too.
But what in his career would lead you to believe that, you know, that would have been different? Because he looked really good in those first four games that he was with the Vikings in 2016, you know, when they started undefeated, he looked really good. And then he didn't.
And then he started getting beat up and scared, just like Kirk Cousins last year.
Who's to say that wouldn't have happened in 2017? You know, he gets off to a good start and then, you know, the same thing happens.
Right, but I think that's going to happen to any quarterback. Like, any quarterback that you put back there. The problem was that team was built for Teddy Bridgewater, who was one of the best scrambling quarterbacks in the NFL.
He's very good in the pocket, too.
One thing So, yes, let me take that back. Yes, pocket presence in general. Yes. Okay, so since we've had Bradford, Keenum, and Cousins, what I have come to retroactively appreciate about Teddy Bridgewater more than any time when he was here is his pocket presence and his ability to escape the pocket and still have his eyes open or stay in the pocket and kind of dance around pressure. That was by far Teddy Bridgewater's best attribute, and that's what I've come to learn since our quarterbacks or from the quarterbacks since him. So that was the problem, is that we had this team where it's like we wanted the offensive line to get better, but we had better places that we could spend it because Teddy wasn't getting destroyed by those in those pockets. Teddy was
He was built for someone else.
Exactly. And then you bring in Bradford.
Yeah.
And he's a statue. And now you have a bad offensive line and a guy who can't like move anywhere. Like he would literally just stand. That was his worst thing, is he just stands there and doesn't move. And Cousins, it's part of his problem too, is you can see pockets collapsing on some on these guys. And it's like, what can you not feel that? It's like when you're walking through a grocery store.
Someone's like right behind
and
you.
Somebody not even behind you, but you're like about to run into somebody who's looking at something on the aisle.
Oh, yeah.
And they're just like like you would literally have to push them to get them to know that you're there. And meanwhile, like when I'm there, I know if there's anybody in the entire aisle.
Yeah.
Like I know if somebody has entered the aisle, I know about it. Yeah, like, you know, it's just that awareness. So that was biggest problem with Bradford. But with a good offensive line, I mean, I'd have to agree that if you would have put a good offensive line in front of him for 2 years in Minnesota, what we could have done with those teams, who knows? It doesn't matter because we didn't have that offensive line and he was injury prone and couldn't move around in the pocket very well.
Right. It's one of the biggest what ifs. You know, last couple of years for the Vikings. And,
sure.
You know, I'm kind of happy that you are taking the other side of this because it's maybe helped me realize some things about Bradford. Still not impressed with anything you did. So I don't
think it'll make for a better blog.
Yeah, I don't think I ever will be.
Yeah.
That's just my impression of. I think I kind of just look at his entire career because he's had all these excuses. I feel like made everywhere he's gone, like, oh, it's been this, it's been that, it's been, you know, other quarterbacks deal with this stuff too, and they find a way to succeed. So what was Bradford's, you know, problem? Because, you know, I feel like he had the tools. What, 2016 was that? Did Peterson get hurt? He got hurt that year too. Thielen wasn't really Thielen yet, and Diggs was still sort of coming into his own. So it's not like the Vikings offense was loaded or anything. But I don't know. Maybe it's the sleeves.
The
jersey,
sleeves.
You know, maybe wear a jersey that fits.
I mean, I never liked Case Keenum. When Case Keenum was like leading us to like great records and like we look like one of the best teams in the
Everyone
NFC.
Says it was him.
I was the one saying that we should be giving Teddy a chance on his knee that he thinks is recovered, not because I think Teddy could be the future, but because I didn't feel like Case Keenum could win us a Super Bowl in a year where we had the roster capable of doing it. And so for me, it was like, great. So Case Keenum is going to lead us through the regular season and we're going to be 11-5 and then we're going to get to the postseason and then we're going to lose because you need a quarterback who's going to be, and that's what I worry about with Kirk Cousins, not as much anymore after last season, but you need a quarterback who's going to be able to carry your team in at least one game in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to do that. And he isn't capable of doing that. And then the one game where he failed.
Like, what do you mean? They should have re-signed Case Keenum and they would have gotten... been to the Super Bowl, you know, the past two years.
We made videos like there's videos of the podcast that we had going on back then of like them just making like fun of me. And then there's one montage video I made of like GIFs and Case Keenum stealing my, we had a conversation about why I hate Case Keenum. Like, did he have sex with my wife? Is that why I hate him so much? Like, we had a full conversation and video out on YouTube about like whether Case Keenum stole my wife and whether my kids are mine. So look, like, I get it. Like, you don't have to explain to me why you're not a huge fan of Bradford. But yeah, as far as what I remember of Bradford, especially his time here, yeah, I got nothing against his time here. I think it was more of a just the circumstances of the whole situation was just off. For everybody involved.
Yeah, I think anyone who, you know, follows football closely, you're not a casual fan, could see that Case Keenum wasn't going to be he's not a starter. He never was in his career. He had opportunities, but he just showed that he wasn't. And he's a good backup. He's somebody you can throw in there for a couple games and he can, you know, maybe win you a couple of those. He's that kind of player. But he's not someone who can, yeah, like you said, put the team on his back and lead them to a win himself.
And we had other QBs on the roster at that time that we weren't sure. Like, if Sam Bradford can play on his knee, even if it's for a couple games,
he tried.
He could be better than Case Keenum, was my argument. And Teddy Bridgewater coming back, like, is it likely that he's going to be able? Right. Is it likely he's going to be able to play on his knee and be able to, you know, play anywhere near the way he was before? Probably not. But I can see Case Keenum playing right now, and I can tell you that it's not going to be good enough. So let's put Teddy in there for a game or two. If it's not good enough, we can go back to Case Keenum. Like, he's already proven that, you know, being taken out and put back in, if anything, is only going to make him better and make him want it more. So, like, it's not going to have a negative effect on him. So that was my argument at the time. It's like, I just know that he's not it. So let's try all of our other options until we know for sure he is our best option, and then we'll do what we can do. But we had other quarterbacks on the roster at that time that I was like, let's at least give him a chance.
Yeah, I think a lot of guys in the Vikings locker room liked Case Keenum, so that probably played a factor. Everyone liked Teddy, sure, too, so maybe that didn't play as much of a factor. But I think the Vikings were just playing so well as a team, and everything was going so well that maybe Zimmer just, he didn't want to, you know, mess with anything. Like, you know, they got a good thing going, as much as he knows, and he made it very clear that he didn't think Case Keenum was, you know, the starting quarterback that should be in there, because he pretty much said it every week, like, oh, I don't know, maybe he'll be in there, maybe he won't. Like, it was like week 17. He was like, maybe he will. I don't know. So I think they had a good thing going, and I don't think they wanted to ruin that, because sometimes, you know, you catch lightning in a bottle or whatever, and you don't want to screw that up. So I think that played a big factor in the Keenum. How did we even just talk about Keenum for 10 minutes?
Because Bradford, Keenum, Bridgewater.
Yeah, it's all just terrible memories. So that's all we got for today. Make sure you go to Twitter and follow the podcast, at Bleeding Podcast. Subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart. Download. You don't even have to listen. Just wherever
just
you
download.
Just wherever you go, you know,
download five stars, move on with your day.
Tell your grandma or whatever, just download this podcast. You don't even have to listen to it. Just download it and
download.
But, you know, rate us, review us, whatever you want to do. Send us, you know, some questions on Twitter or anything, or whatever you want to do. We'll respond to you. So
I've heard that the Bleeding Podcast Twitter account will actually follow you back if you rate them and then show us on Twitter. So that's just a rumor that I heard. So if you rate Bleeding Podcast and then mention Bleeding Podcast on Twitter, then we'll follow you back.
Is that according to hashtag sources? Is it
hashtag sources? Yep, I got a hashtag sources behind the Bleeding Podcast Twitter wall.
Exclusive on the Bleeding Podcast, Bleeding Purple Podcast.
That's right.
All right. So until next time, we will talk to you later.
Bye, fam.